you so much for coming to my site today. And it is January the 18th, 2022, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, United States of America, God's good, great planet Earth. Kind of late coming on. It's about 5:21 in the afternoon, in the PM, if you don't mind. And I am a little late coming on with the webcast, but I've been looking at a lot of things. And I was going to call this Prayer for the Nation. I don't know. My good friend Ramey sent me. No, we had a good time talking. I was speaking to him from Maryland, and here I am in Southern California. Ramey and I, we speak occasionally, and usually our conversations are not tidbits or small items, but worthy to communicate. And he was telling me that he kind of set his parents back because he was speaking about President Biden and all of that, and of course, looking at COVID. As a matter of fact, for dinner tonight, I did something. You know, I had these rocks put in the front yard. You've seen pictures of them on my site or on my Facebook page. Well, when it rained, the grass comes up through the tarp, and I was pulling the weed grasses out, and it came out pretty smoothly. And I spent a couple of hours doing that, just giving maintenance to the front lawn, and had my dog chained to the front porch so he wouldn't run around the block. And I was thinking about, because the sun broke out a little bit for a couple of hours, it was warm, and so I took advantage of it. I said, let me get soak up some of this sunshine and at the same time deal with what I think is COVID on me. I don't know what it is. As a matter of fact, today I ordered those two personal home tests that I'm going to take when it come here, because I'm sheltered in. I don't go out. I've had all two of my shots and my booster. I'm following the rules like a good citizen of the country should do. The country's going through a terrible time, and I know that when I was an evangelical, I would scream about my rights, and I would try to use all of the biblical mandates to justify my rights, whereas the biblical mandates were written and coined during a time when I wasn't even born and when this country didn't even exist. I have a perfect, clear, absolute cognitive, mental ability to franchise how this country was ripped off and taken over by the people that came over here with the muskets and the power and the audacity to take what was not theirs and to put in concentration camps, literally hundreds of tribes of Indians that canvassed this northern hemisphere along with the Canadians and with Mexico and the island countries, the people that existed long before 1776, long before the British sent wooden ships over here to this continent to colonize it. I've watched movies, seen documentaries as to how the Europeans were going to split up the countries over here in the lands and it just basically bring disaster in the lives of the people here. So I'm aware of what happened. But Ramey and I was having a conversation, and it went along these lines. Ramey was sharing with me what the people that had the power to do did when they came and took this country. And I pointed out to my good friend that I'm perfectly aware of what happened. But I asked him to share with me the one thing that he loves about this country. One thing that he can say about his country. And he kept coming back at me, sharing with me But look at what the people that run this country did. Look at what they did to our ancestors. Look at what we never had the opportunity to have. And I'm going to let this interference just pass. I'm not going to stop the webcast. I'll just keep talking into the mic and hope that it'll go through there and you'll be able to continuously listen to me. So just hang in there, hang tight. Something's going on with my system. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm trusting that in a little bit, it'll straighten itself out. But I was trying to communicate to my friend the fact. Okay, I guess I'm back on track right now. I was trying to communicate that as bad as we were treated as a people historically, that's why I have the clip of the Tuskegee Airmen up, because I wanted you to listen to that. Look at his home, his furniture, the books that were on the coffee table. If you watch the interview, listen to him speak about his family, the particular trials and tribulations that his family had gone through and lived through, that this man was blessed, even though he was treated harshly, racially, white privilege tried to stop him. Nothing could stop him. I was even thinking about my friend Ramey, the blessings that he's incurred being a member of this country, the United States of America. Like it or not, I was telling my friend Ramey that this is my country. Everything that happened here was not appropriate. It was not right. It was not fair. But I am here. And God allowed me to be here. And God blessed me in the midst of me being here. And I think that what we need to do, in spite of the foolishness that is going on now, because the next generations, and I was thinking about this seriously, because after I die, after I pass on, these young people here that's a member of my tribe, well, they're going to have to deal with this situation in the best way positively that they can. And I believe that it is all of our responsibilities to fight for the right to live in this country with justice and peace and equity and fairness, irregardless of what the whites in the past have done to us to hold us back or to keep a boot on our necks. I'm thinking about George Floyd. That was horrible. That was murder. I don't think that you can punish that man enough. I'm trying to forget his name. I don't want to know his name. I don't want to remember his face. I think it's shameful what that man did to George Floyd. I am also aware that George Floyd did not follow the rules. If George Floyd had followed the rules that the officer gave him, he would probably be alive today. I tell young black men that if you stop by law enforcement, even if you believe that you haven't done anything to be stopped by them, obey them, because the institution that we live in has given them the power and the authority to kill you if they are corrupt. I know that's horrible to say with a straight face, but this is the kind of world that we live in. If I had, I hear this frustration coming back in, I just have to wait on this system. If I had the opportunity to live in any other country in the world, I don't think that I would choose any other one other than the United States of America. I was sitting on a little bench in my front yard, pulling weeds from between the white rocks that I paid for to have put in my front lawn. The flowers showing themselves beautiful green, the green color of my house, the red brick porch, the nice comfortable couch, my dog sitting in the shade watching me. And I thank God for my home. People, I want you to listen to me. I know that there are people from other countries around the world who don't have running toilet water. I was speaking with Ramey, and we were talking about how the enemies of our society here would like to set off an EMP. That is an electronic weaponry that if that bomb is set off in the atmosphere over our country or over any civilization that uses electricity to run its system, that it could knock out an entire country. And Ramey and I was having this discussion. And Ramey and I was talking about the evil that came out of this country. Even some of the evil that comes out of the region of the country that I live in. Hollywood is giving a different idea of what or how they think society ought to be run. And we may disagree with it because we came up in another generation, but I believe in having a strong military, funding that military, and so that we can take out any other country that would try to set off an EMP over the atmosphere of any of our regions in the United States of America in order to procure the way I'm living. I am in my office. Electricity is on. I have a cool drink in front of me, a refrigerator in my office, in my kitchen. I have a bedroom with a bed in it. I have a living room with a couch and a chair. I have more chairs and a table in the kitchen. I have chairs in the back patio, chairs in my office here on the front porch, and I'm one person. But because I've worked hard, and this government has given me a way to procure these things and to have them and to even have a weapon of mass destruction, a firearm here to protect what is mine as given by the Constitution. Now, if the Army or the Marines or the Navy or the Air Force comes in and take my weaponry and don't allow me to use it to defend myself, I'm not going to shoot them down. Those are my brothers and sisters, my fellow citizens. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I don't like everything my country's done. I was looking at a picture when I believe it was President Trump awarded the Tuskegee Airmen his honorary general, you know, the star, made him a general. And I remember when they were talking about it in the Congress, and I recall Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker of the House, and while President Trump was speaking, the hatred in Pelosi's eyes, the hatred in her eyes, the message that she sent while Trump was giving the award to a black Tuskegee Airman, an honorary generalship, the hatred in Pelosi's eyes. I saw it and I said, this woman is full of hate. Yet she says she prays for the people in the other party. No, she doesn't. Not like that. When I pray for someone, you don't see hatred in me. This country is bathed with hatred. And I was telling my good friend Remy, I love him so much. I said, Remy, you remember when you and I both were staunch evangelicals. Staunch. I mean, we, come on. Now, I wasn't an evangelical like I was crazy like some of these people today. Take the Bible completely out of its context and try to find America. You don't even find America anywhere in that Bible when you do an exegetical search for this country. You don't find the United States of America in the Bible. And now they try to make us, some of these extreme Christians try to make America as lost Babylon. You can't do that. Babylon as an estate to live in and as a country was the ruler of the known world. And what they practiced in that environment, and then tried to attribute the gay community as the whore of Babylon. That's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. How do I know? Because I'm a theologue. You cannot do that. And I was sharing with my friend Ramey. I said, you know that's what the evangelicals are trying to do. They're always trying to make it out like they're the scapegoat guys. You remember that guy? He was a Baptist guy, and he had a group from Kansas, and there were American soldiers that were gay, that were marrying each other and everything. And when that American soldier would die in one of the wars over there, this guy would have some of his people come and protest the gay soldier's funeral and say that the gay soldier was going to hell. That was blasphemous, what those so-called Christians were doing. That was the worst thing that a person could do. I can point my finger on what the church did. It was a horrible thing for the church to say that God told you to give 10% of all of your earnings like the Israelites did during that time. I know why the Israelites were commanded to give 10% of everything when they had the 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Levi was a priestly tribe, and all of the other tribes of Israel had to take care of the priests, their families, their food, and everything else. But in no way were Christians told to do that for any type of priesthood in Christianity. Nowhere in the Bible was a Christian told to give 10% of what they owe to any church, to anything. You don't have to give anything. When you go to a church and they pass the basket, you shouldn't have to put a dime in there. Anything. And I'm going to say this, and some of you are not going to like this, but the man of God is not supposed to be preaching for money. Now, you may say, well, John, when you were a pastor, did you preach for money? I asked them, did they want a pastor? They said, yes. I said, I'll be your pastor. I have my job. You don't have to pay me. And they said, no, because we want this ministry to grow. And we will pay you if you do what you're supposed to do. Okay, therefore, I quit my city job. Because we had cut a deal. You want this church to grow? And it did, with leaps and bounds. I never got paid more than $3,400 a month. I never got paid more than that when I was a pastor, ever. Why? Because I didn't require it. My wife was working, And that's why I stayed in this house. I didn't require more than that. I'm going to name some names. How much was Creflo making a year? How much was T.D. Jakes making a year? How much was these so-called Christian ministries supposed to be helping the people making over the years? Why did they need a bookkeeper doing that stuff? You don't need a bookkeeper. And then you got these lying money schemes to get money out of the American population and then trying to make out like we are the continuation of the Israelites. No, you don't do theology like that. That was wrong. Blacks did it, Hispanics did it, Asians did it, whites did it. All four food groups did it, and they were wrong. That is why I belong to a group of people that love God and love one another, and I go there from time to time. But I don't feel obligated to give all my money, everything that I have coming in to keep my life secure. It was wonderful today after I worked out in the front yard pulling weeds. I was going to come in the house and cook. No, I went to one of my favorite eateries and bought me some red beans and rice. Yes, I did. And only ate a quarter of a bowl of that. Why? Because I got sense enough to hold on to some money. I had a young man write me and he said, "What are you doing, old man?" I told him, "What do you think I'm doing? Enjoying my life." And he said, "I've got to get out here to take care of these bills that I made for myself." I didn't write him back. I said to myself, if you may them, you got to pay them. Every bill that I made, I paid. And didn't ask anybody to help me pay it. Didn't ask the church people to help me pay a bill. Because I never made a bill that I created that I would turn around and ask God's people to pay it. I remember once, you know, ministers would join the ministry that I was leading, Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative, and Sound Bible Church. And we had some preachers once, and they joined. And I remember once he said, "You know, we can get the people to buy us a house." And I told that minister, not under my jurisdiction of being a pastor. Nobody gonna buy me no house. Me and Lucy got that house that I put down $500 down from the GI Bill. I did my time during the Vietnam War. I was drafted. Now, if you want a house, take your butt and get in the army and do something to earn it. But not to ask God's people to buy you a house. That's not the way a pastor is supposed to get a house. But see, we've gone crazy. And then we got these people bowing down to these people, making them gods and everything else. It is totally ridiculous. If God should destroy this country, he would destroy it because the men that are supposed to be in charge of the spiritual lives of this people in this country are nothing but pimp-ass fools that has pimped God's people. I know we don't like to hear stuff like this, do we? We don't like to hear it. Fred Price is dead. That lion clown of the Word Faith Movement, he and Kenneth Hagin are dead. E.W. Kenyon, do you know who that is? Look up that name. Look up E.W. Kenyon and then listen to Kenneth Hagin, Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, and all these other lying scoundrels. Some of them are still alive, and they're very quiet. You're not hearing much of them today because they hope that you don't do the research to find out that you've been taken on the Fruit Loop trail. Ever since COVID has been out, the true church can never die. But you didn't see them begging for money. Look at this. Hey, couldn't nobody attend church, right? And I know some preachers that died because what they did is they had the people back in the sanctuary. Look at John MacArthur. Man, I'm telling you, I've seen it all. And then you got a lot of people in the church talking about we need to stop these people from coming across our borders. What kind of religious people are you? Why stop them? We got enough food here in this country to feed everybody on the planet if we had to. And we plan whorish politics with these whore politicians. And then we wondering, well, is somebody going to drop an EMP on us? And then we talk about these. Now the next thing that they're fearful of are these FEMA camps. Well, they're going to start locking up people that didn't take the shots. And they're going to put them in a FEMA camp and they're going to start killing us. Boy, my God, what? And you mean to tell me that, you know, me and Ramey was talking and he said, John, you know, the American population is so dumbed down, they wouldn't know what to do. Yes, we would. I'll be darned if I'm going to watch my Army, Navy, and Marines and Air Force start locking up all the citizenry and all their neighborhoods and killing them in concentration camps because they won't take the poke. I tell you one thing, if this thing keeps spreading and people keep dying, the government is going to do whatever they can to put a cap on this. I don't think we'll ever get back to the way it looked right. Look like in the past, but I'm going to tell you this, the great vax hoax is what they're talking about. I don't know whether the vaccinations was a hoax or not. All I know is that I have been feeling some strange stuff in me ever since I've taken it. 5 days ago, I felt like I was sitting on the top of the world. Today, I had to push myself to really stay ahead of the game. I purchased some more patio curtains for my patio room because I had the orange ones up and the wind blew them. A couple of them ripped, and so I said, well, I better get some. They only cost about $29 a curtain. And so I bought some curtains to put up, but I'm waiting on the weather to warm up here in Southern California so I can get on a little stepladder and put the things up and so that I could have people come by. We're sitting outside. The wind is blowing. And at night, we can burn some fire logs and have a nice glass of wine and have a nice conversation about these things on an intelligent basis. But you know what? I haven't been feeling up to it because of something in the air. There's something out here. And for those of you that don't think that COVID is real, something is out there. And that something is affecting me and other people like me. And one of these days, if it mounts up and takes me out, it takes me out. I think that the thing is, well, the people that are being infected with this thing are the people that had their shots. So why should I take the shots? Oh, you're going to find out. If you keep bucking against a government, because we live in that kind of a world now. I know everybody told me, I have my rights. Is that right? You got your rights, right? Oh, there's so much going on out there today. There is so much going out there today. They got this guy. He's on a website. I try to write these things down so that I remember it because Ramey had gave me this website to look at, and I looked at this website, and this guy wrote a book called Alive After the Fall. He's telling people how, I guess in this book, how we should respond after the EMP hits and knocks out all the electricity and most people in the cities, he said, will not know how to get food because the trucking lanes are going to stop. The seaports are going to stop bringing things in to us. And basically, we're going to start eating each other, I guess, in the cities and killing each other up. Excuse me. When all the food and everything is gone. Well, if human beings get that crazy, I guess we'll be zombie-eyed only for a few weeks, because after that, everybody's food's going to be gone. Now, what country do you think is going to be left to survive this Holocaust? And what country is going to come and take over the United States? I don't see it. I don't see it. Alive After the Fall is a hoax to sell a book and to get people to make other people's businesses grow. Because I know that if I spend enough time, 2 weeks in a survival course, looking at something on YouTube, I can get the supplies too and learn how to bring in some artificial electricity in my home for a couple of days too. But God let me let a flea or something bite me and make me sick, I'll be gone before the person that made the machine is gone. So we have no guarantee to survive, to outlive what God wants us to outlive in the first place. I remember. Oh, yeah, the name of the website was Brightian. Okay. And oh my goodness. My dog knows that somebody's outside in the front messing with him. Yeah, he doesn't like that. Harcourt is like that. He's very protective. Very protective. I'm glad he's like that. Watch him, Harcourt. You doing right. Come here, boy. Who's out there messing with you? Huh? Go get him. No, don't jump up on me. Go get him, boy. Go get him. There he goes. That's about my only protection that I have here, if somebody come in on me. Don't worry about the FEMA camps. The virus is going to run its course. You're going to find these websites and all these fear tactics and everything else going on. You're going to die when you're supposed to die. And it's like I was going to tell you, my grandmother told me about a time when my granddaddy wasn't able to find any work, and they had two sons, my father and my uncle, and they were little fellas after they had moved here to Los Angeles. And my grandma told me that there was absolutely no food in the house. She didn't know how she was going to make it. She just dropped on her knees and said, "Well, Lord, here we are." And within the next hour, her neighbor came by and said, "Nanny, I know you got them boys and it's rough. Maybe you can use this." And it was enough food to keep them going until they got on their feet. Now, how did her neighbor know that? God knew it. God put it in the neighbor's heart to do something, because America has always been a place where that kind of necessary obligation that we had towards our neighbors were always enjoined. So I'm not worried about these secret bombs or tsunamis hitting the coast and all these things happen. Let it happen. It's happened years before, and it's going to happen again. And you and I cannot protect ourselves from these things. But what you can do is put your life in God's hands. Now, if you're atheistic, agnostic, and don't believe in the the God of the Bible or the God of the Quran or the God of anything. If you don't believe in any kind of deity, go ahead on with your bad self. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue apologetically and try to prove to you that God exists. The only thing that I could do is give you a testimony that he has never left me nor forsake me. I have felt pain in my body. I will feel pain again before I die. I'm feeling pain in me right now. Right now, I am feeling pain. I'm not asking God to remove that pain. It is normative for me to experience this. It is uncomfortable. I don't like the way it feels. It hurts. And sometimes it's constant pain that racks my body. But God knows it. I know it. I'm experiencing it. What? You see, we need to come to the place in our lives where we're trusting God. In the Old Testament, a lot of the prophets said, if he kills me, I'm going to trust him. Oh, no. You know, I was looking at the Rams. Man, wasn't that a great game last night? But I was looking at the Rams game last night, and they had the camera on the football commissioner, who was sitting in his private booth, had three black NFL retired football players there with him. They all eating chicken, drinking beer, having a good time. They showed Jay-Z with his kids in a private booth in that beautiful SoFi Stadium. They were showing all of that. And one of the guys said, oh, wasn't that just wonderful that these people can come to the SoFi Stadium and watch a game? Rich people. Yes, rich. Well, when the EMP hits, it's going to turn off their electricity too. They're going to be in the same mess you in. I was telling my friend Ramey, I said, you know what, Ramey, man? I believed in God all my life, and I'm not going to stop believing in God now. I don't like everything that Hollywood is doing. I don't like the way they portray the black man. I don't like that, but I'm not gonna condemn the. Wait a minute. As a matter of fact, got. So sick of it. You know what? It's this congressman talking about, don't question my faith. And they questioning his faith, what he said about Jesus Christ and everything. If I was in the room, I would have said, you all know that Jesus Christ was more of a black man than a white man like you portray. I bet that would have shut him up. See, man, this is what politics have come to. If I was him, I would have let them question anything they want to. You ask one question, do you want me in this office? If not, vote me out or don't put me in the first place. America is like a circus, man. We've turned this democracy, if you can call it democracy, into a circus. And, you know, we put Dr. Fauci's up. Have you ever been noticing when you watch the newsreels of COVID, whenever they show a hospital ward, they show these nurses and these nurse people pushing this medical equipment, but you don't see, like when I was in a hospital, you could see sick people. You can hear their families trying to visit them. This just looks like people pushing things around, and then you may have a couple of fogged up faces, and all these doctors are telling you what the latest things are, and it looks like they fixed up their their houses where they have pictures of their children on the wall behind them or a piece of art that they like. It's all staged, people. This is all, I don't care. I'm going to be on a Zoom meeting tonight after I finish doing this. And it's staged. I'm going to participate in a Zoom meeting. I'm going to ask the man, can I participate from my home? Because I'm not going to want to be at the facility where I'm supposed to be presenting the meeting. It would be better if I were there. It's better to control it. I'll ask, because I'd rather not be around anybody, to tell you the truth. I don't know who got what. And living in this world now, people are constantly trying to take advantage of other people because ain't nobody making no money. I went to Orleans in York to give me a little bite to eat after I worked on my front lawn, and I asked for a small little thing of wings because I'm only one person. And when they charged me for a big packet of it, I said, well, I guess I'll take it. Because I looked at the worker. And them people got to pay their workers. And I asked the manager, I said, it looks like your business is falling off. He said, man, ain't nobody. I asked, do the same people run this Orleans in York? He said, yes, but no. It's a different crew runs that. And everybody's going out of business because businesses are failing in this country. People are learning how to live on their own. And my friend Ramey is probably right when he says that the entire economy within a couple of years is going to crash in this country. Now, we have enough sense to keep everything on a legitimate scale. But if we don't stop hating one another and treating one another like we're the enemy. No, these are your neighbors. I went on and said, all right, give me all them wings. I'm not eating all that stuff. I came home and started giving that stuff to my dog. I just wanted some red beans and rice, and I hadn't had any spicy wings in a long time. I only wanted about 4 or 5 of them. They gave me enough for 4 people. I'm not going to eat all that. Look, do you think that God is going to give retribution back in people's lives that disrespect him? Yes, yes. If you play God, if you placate him, if you placate, and what I mean by him, his spirit, because I'm convinced when I look at the Hubble telescope zeroing in on 1/10 of an inch of space and letting that telescope focus in on that for about 6 months, and then after 6 months, hundreds and thousands of solar systems come back where the Hubble telescope is looking at one little space of empty space. One person put that up on Facebook, and I looked at that, and I just start weeping at my computer when I start thinking about the majesty of the Almighty God that created all of those universes. And when I know some people's arrogant people in this country that can eat and wear the best clothes and drive cars that direct itself and have medicine that can keep them healthy and strong, that says there ain't no God, there's nothing, it's all a fluke. When I think about those people, I don't think about them. I leave them alone because I know that one day, listen, every human being that is alive on this planet one day is going to transition over like that Tuskegee Airman about 101 years old when my brother died. He lived a beautiful 100 years. That's why I have that clip up on my website where he's talking about what he went through, all of the hell he went through, all the racism, all the inhumanity to man and everything. He transitioned over. He passed over from human life to a spiritual life to another world. And I'm telling you, he flew those missions. And when he was flying those missions and dropping those bombs for the United States of America, every bomb that dropped on Germany that killed an innocent person, that Tuskegee pilot should have been saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. See it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Every policeman that choked out, that shot, that killed, that cut off the life. I heard that three teenagers was found in a house somewhere in Texas, all dead. They turned to say that it was, what, two girls, 17, and a boy, 15, and it looked like a murder-suicide. What's wrong with our children? I tell you what's wrong with our children. You've thrown God out of everything. You've kicked him out of the schools. We can't even discuss him. If you do that, they're going to call you a terrorist. In other words, you're supposed to give them all the crystal meth they want. Have you seen the people in the eastern cities? Been all over on the street looking like zombies walking around. Why? Because you've knocked God out of everything. What have we replaced God with? Pleasure. Pleasure as the highest good. And when everybody see, oh, my God, wait a minute. I was on Facebook, and I don't know who put this thing up. Michael Jackson was dancing in one thing, and they showed him dancing, and the people around the stage was having orgasms, the men and the women. And, man, let that black man dance backwards and everything. And I'm looking at the end of his life when he was but 50 years old. Michael Jackson died when he was 50 years old. I'm 78 and enjoying my life. Why was Michael Jackson trying to get some sleep or stay awake or whatever he was trying to do? Huh? What was he trying to cover up in his mind? What did he do in his life that he had to have that black doctor give him that kind of drug? What did he do that he could not live with himself? Huh? What? You see, we don't want to answer that question, do we? Oh, anybody that say that Michael had a problem, they're going to be sued. You better not say anything about it. I remember when Michael Jackson died. I had the video clip up on my YouTube page. When I was talking about, I'm tired of them bemoaning the fact that this 50-year-old man drugged himself to death. And man, I remember they showed a video. Michael was in Las Vegas, and he went into one guy's shop, and he just was walking around. Maybe you saw it. He was buying everything, buying vases, buying lamps, buying this, buying that, and having it all shipped to Never Never Land. You know, that crazy place that he had together here in Southern California, Never Never Land. This young man had elephants and zebras and giraffes and everything else out there, and inviting little kids in to play in the zoo with him and stuff. That man had a serious problem. But I know we're not supposed to speak like that. Same thing with Prince. We make the most obnoxious people our heroes. I'm not saying that Prince wasn't a good, great entertainer. He was. But my goodness, he was on the same binge. You can only have people so much pleasure. I know that. Sometimes I want to have a lot of pleasure, and I just need to ease the hell up. And you know what I did last night? I said, well, after the football game, I mean, the Rams just, the Cardinals, man, my goodness. I don't know what happened to that football team. I don't know what happened, but man, the Rams just, oof. After that game, I said, I cannot stand any more winning devices. I turned off everything, and I went to bed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There comes a time when you just say, I don't need, and I love looking at the SoFi Stadium. Did you see they had a picture of Martin Luther King on the top of the building, and then, man, the technology is beautiful. And if you know anything about Los Angeles, the air path when you fly in to the airport, because the Los Angeles airport is right in the city of Inglewood, right next to it. Inglewood is right next to LAX. So when these jets are flying in and they're playing a game at night, the people on the jet, all they do is look out the window. The pilots say, look at SoFi Stadium. People are happy to be in Los Angeles. Well, I'm glad that they're happy. One day they're going to be flying in over Los Angeles, and it's just going to happen because we've been a long time waiting on a massive earthquake. They're going to be flying over that stadium and see all that mess fall into a deep hole. We're living on borrowed time. When you see these tsunamis coming in, and what, you know what? When those tsunamis came and washed away all them places in the Pacific and over there in Japan, when you saw whole neighborhoods going down the street, people was in the shop. You know what the people said here in this country? We just looked at it and said, ooh, them people lost everything. You wait till America starts losing everything. Talking about recovery, it may take you 50 years to recover. You won't see it in the millennials' lifetime. See, but you know what we've done? I'm not trying to be an evangelical. I'm not trying to be a spooky religious person. But when I saw that picture of the Hubble telescope and all those solar systems and everything blown up, and I just start crying, and I just start saying, I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't extol you last night. I was looking at the Rams game, and I was happy that the Rams won, but I forgot to extol God. And that is what each and every human being on this planet needs to do. And trust me, God will cause that person's life to manifest not only the love of God and the sustaining power of God in such a way that he will be praised forever and ever and ever. And that is what it is all about, my friends. It is not about all this hatred and this bloodshed that we are doing and all this greed. You know, they had this white tennis player. He was going to try to stay in Australia and play, but he thought that he had white supremacy. Well, I'm one of the greatest tennis players, so I could stay here if I want to. I ain't got to show my shot record. Yeah, right, they put his ass out the country, didn't they? And they're playing in the Australian Open, and he's not in it. Did he learn his lesson? See, my friends, I'm going to tell you something. When you try to come against people that have the power over you, you will be sitting in your living room with your tennis racket and your tennis ball, and you ain't going no damn where. I'm surprised at the arrogance of certain people. Oh, wait a minute. Now, here it is. Super Bowl coming up. Ooh, I don't know how much they're paying these people. Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, who else? Did they say Kanye West? I'm not sure. But all black entertainers will be performing in the halftime thing at the Super Bowl. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If I'm alive, I'm going to be watching it because It's going to be played here in my city. I got me a smart TV, and I'm right down the street from the stadium. If I wanted to, I can get in my car and drive it over there and park right across the street from the stadium and watch it on my cell phone and listen to the crowds cheer as all these people go through all that stuff. But no, I don't want to be nowhere near that stadium. I don't want to be nowhere near it with all them people and all the two greatest teams and all that stuff. And you know what I want you to do is I want you to watch and try to regroup in your mind that, man, they got a few good movies out there. The Fall of the Roman Empire. You know, you can go to Rome, Italy, and see just the skeletal remains of that great Colosseum, that great stadium. And that's what SoFi Stadium reminds me of, the three-tier balcony. Sometimes when the Rams and the Chargers are playing, they got people all the way up in the top rafters. I've seen it. I said, look at this magnificent feat that men have built for the glory of sport, just like the Romans did. The fall of the Roman Empire came, and when it came, it decimated it. The fall of the Grecian Empire, the fall of Mesopotamia, the fall of Europe, when the plagues came in and killed hundreds and thousands of people. You think this plague that is affecting us is horrific? There has been worse plagues than this that has come upon this nation and the other nations of the world. My friends, let me share something with you. You'd better extol God. And if you haven't done it, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just giving you the brass tacks. This universe and everything put together is not a mistake. You better get this through your hard head. It's not a mistake. Everything was planned. Everybody talking about what COVID is nothing but a planned thing by the government to lessen the population. Well, it hasn't lessened me ever since I've been doing this webcast. Guess what happened in my body? The pain stopped. It was racking my body when I told you I was in pain. The pain is gone. What happened to the pain? I don't know what happened to the pain. Does God know? Possibly, because he wanted me to tell you this. You had better extol him. I don't care who wins the Super Bowl. I kind of hope the Rams do, because I love to see a parade go downtown Los Angeles, the LA Rams, world champions. I remember when the Lakers were the world champions and the Lakers went down. Ooh, don't you remember it? When they were going down Figueroa and they were down there on Figueroa and they got in front of Staples Center and they went in there and Kobe and Shaq and all of them was on there. Where's Kobe now? Where's Kobe? Where's Kobe? Stat this, stat that. He's gone. Gone. People, you better get something and get it through your head right now. If we do not affirm God in our lives, and his majesty is too grand, and you know what? It is only the arrogance, the plague of the arrogance of a man of the human heart that would not extol God and thank him. I thank God for those chicken wings and those red beans and that rice that I ate. I thank God for that. I don't take everything that I have as supposed to happen to me. We have forgotten what this country was all about. When those people left Europe to come over here, even though they were white supremacists, they were running from tyranny. We were planting cotton and tobacco and everything else they had us doing. Our ancestors was doing that, and we are the offspring of our ancestors. And look at what we have left here. Why won't we extol God now? We're hating one another. We want to kill one another. We're jealous of one another. We forget what friendship is all about. Oh, that's another subject matter altogether. I will extol him till the day I die. And that is why. Oh, my goodness, I've been talking an hour already. Thank you so much for coming to my website and spending some time with PJ. You know I love you. Stay cool.